When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Now, we've been hearing quite a lot, particularly during the pandemic, about inequalities in the healthcare system and about how women are not being represented properly. And joining me now to discuss male bias in healthcare is Dr. Sarah Fitzgibbon. Good morning.
Good morning, Fiona.
Dr. Sarah Fitzgibbon, I was reading some of the articles that you had mentioned, and, you know, it's what kind of struck me was about the research that's done on a lot of medical issues, and a lot of the research is done on men, which is really quite surprising.
Yes, so I suppose traditionally over the last 100 years or so, since there has been research, we'll say, into things like drugs or medication, the majority of the time, in fact, 99% of the time, that research has been carried out on young men, usually. Mm. And because of that, every type of medication, whether it's a medication that might be used for women or for men, has all been tested on young men. So these would be the drug trials where people choose to take a medication for a period of time and find out if it's effective or if it has side effects or if there's any reason why the medication should be given at a particular dose. And what happens is that the men in the trial go through all of this, and at the end of it, the drug company decides, yes, this is a good medication, or no, this medication has these side effects and we shouldn't use it. Mm. But so that would mean that even for things like the contraceptive pill, that would have been tested originally in young men and not in women.
That actually seems so crazy. And apart from inequalities, there's actually a danger to that, isn't there? Because, I mean, men and women are made up differently.
Absolutely. So there's two sides to it. First of all, you could find that a medication doesn't work for women when you do give it to women. Once the trial is completed and the medication has been marketed, it might mean that it works really well in a male body, but it doesn't work particularly well in a female body, or that the dose might need to be different for a man versus a woman, when you think about it. You know, a lot of the time the female body will be potentially smaller than a male body. And we're used to changing medication doses, we'll say maybe for children, but we don't think about changing doses between the sexes, between the genders. So that's one aspect of it. The other thing is that sometimes the medication might have been tested in men and found to be not useful or to be not effective. But if it had been tested in women, it might have been found to actually be useful for a specific condition in women. And an example of that is actually with the medication Viagra, which people would be familiar with, which was originally tested in relation to heart disease and blood pressure, but was found to have another side effect, which is what it is currently used for and marketed for men. But it turns out that that medication, Viagra medication, might actually have been useful for women who were suffering from painful periods.
Right.
But that was never fully explored in the research because, again, it wasn't being trialed in women, and it has just come out afterwards from other researchers. But they find it very difficult then to get the funding for extra research or new research into a medication like Viagra. And to see how effective it might be for other indications for women.
Sarah, you're the founder of Women in Medicine in Ireland Network, and the whole idea behind Women is to support, promote and encourage female doctors and medical students in Ireland. So is there a change now in the way a lot of these medicines are being tested, or do we still have a long way to go?
Well, there is still a long way to go, but yes, I'm the founder of the Women in Medicine in Ireland Network, and we do know that in recent years there are many, many more women working in medicine and researching in medicine, and that's likely to make an impact on the type of research that's done and the type of forward thinking that might be brought in around issues to do with women. Mm. And the more recently, there has in fact been a trial that has been carried out amongst pregnant women, which would be a group of women which would be very rare for them to be involved in any kind of clinical trial because people were so nervous about giving medication, obviously, understandably, yeah, for women who are pregnant. But Professor Fionnuala Nionla is a hematologist, a woman who works in Dublin in relation to blood clots. And she is part of an international trial, which is specifically doing a trial for women who are pregnant and trying to prevent things like blood clots in the legs or the lungs, which can be extremely serious. So this would be an example, I suppose, of a woman who's working within medicine who has made great efforts, along with Dr. Jennifer Donnelly as well, mm, in trying to make sure that women who are vulnerable, who would have been excluded from trials in the past, which would have meant then that there was uncertainty about the best treatment for blood clots in pregnant women, that they are making these great efforts in trying to ensure that those women are included in the trials and that the best type of treatment then is researched carefully and then is possible to administer.
And Sarah, I know that the members of women, one of the areas that they discuss is inequalities experienced by female doctors in certain specialities. Like, what kind of areas are female doctors experiencing these kind of inequalities? And it must be really frustrating for them.
Yes, so I suppose female doctors are no different to women in working in any other job or in any other profession where we would experience gender-based discrimination from the point of view of the gender pay gap, for example. So yeah, on average, over a woman's lifetime, a female doctor's lifetime, they will earn less than a male doctor. They will also have less of a pension fund when they come to retire. And again, this is not just for doctors, but it does occur with doctors that there is this gender pension gap. So on average, women will have less of a pension pot than their male counterparts. Women, female doctors will experience more in bullying, more gender-based discrimination, both from colleagues and from patients within the hospital. So research done on that a few years ago highlighted that while there can be negative experiences for both male and female doctors in a hospital setting, that it is more common for female doctors to experience things like bullying or abuse.
So we still have quite a long way to go here in Ireland. Is it the same everywhere, especially across Europe? Is it the same, or are we just kind of lagging behind here in Ireland?
No, I mean, it is the same again across the world. And obviously there are much more significant gender based issues in some countries than in others. Mm. And certainly in the UK and the US, female doctors would express very, very similar experiences. Some of the countries in Europe would be overall better in terms of their gender equality. Issues around childcare, issues around maternity benefit, maternity leave. But certainly there is no country where there is the exact type of gender equity that would mean that everybody is receiving the same chances in life.
I was reading in an article in The Guardian about sorting the facts from the fiction, and there's a myth that the typical male brain and there's a typical female brain, and that there's a difference between the male brain and the female brain, but that has been proven to be untrue. So I mean, like, you know, it really just seems to be a bit crazy that we're still using you know, men, and I think, did I read somewhere that it's like a certain age group of men, and it's white men as well, that all of these tests are being carried out on?
Absolutely, yeah. So again, so you're looking also at lots of racial discrimination again, if we're looking back at the pharmaceutical or drug research. Mm. So this is young white men of a certain build with a certain background, and these are the people that all of the research, certainly traditionally, now things have changed a little bit in the last number of years, but right, you know, lots of the medications that we have now were researched 20, 30, 40 years ago. So again, excluding issues like race, which we know have a significant impact on certain types of, again, medication doses, medication side effects, and that those what we call is having, you know, blind data. So looking at data or numbers or figures and thinking that this means that it covers everybody, that it includes everybody, that it's true for everybody. Mm. Whereas in fact, if we don't disaggregate or divide up the data according to a person's gender or their race or potentially lots of other things about specific individuals, then we're not treating everybody equally. We're not giving everybody the same chance to be sure that the medication is the right one for them.
Dr. Sarah Fitzgibbon, a question has come in here from one of our listeners, Noel, and he asks, is there a difficulty getting women to participate in trials? He knows several men who have, but no women.
So again, usually what happens is that the trial company is not asking women to participate, or in fact may indeed be excluding them. So very often it comes down to what they would say is if a woman is of childbearing years, so if there's a potential that the woman could become pregnant, most trial or research companies do not want to include women in their trial because of potential difficulties around women who might become pregnant during the trial. The point that the researchers will say, like Professor Nianla would make, is that excluding pregnant women from all trials means that then there is no proper scientific-based research for pregnant women, for the conditions that pregnant women suffer from. We'll say, for example, hyperemesis, where, you know, people might be vomiting day and night, become very, very unwell. And yet any of the medications that would be used for a condition like that are not adequately researched because the pharmaceutical companies are very reluctant to put themselves into that space where it's much easier for them to get a load of young white men to come in, take a medication, and there are fewer risks. There's never no risks, but they would see it as being less risky to have young men. And just getting back to the hyperemesis medication, of course, there's difficulties with that as well with funding. So an awful lot of women who are suffering from significant vomiting in pregnancy, and they would have difficulty then accessing the medication because of funding related to that, which again may reflect a bias against medication that would be used specifically in pregnancy.
This is another question that has come in from a listener, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to answer this or not, but maybe it's something that you've heard of, that this person says that the HPAT and GAMSAT exams for medicine are geared towards men to try and keep women out. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, so the HPAT is an extra examination that people who are doing their leaving cert would have to sit in order to enter medicine. So in the past, you just did your leaving cert and you got the points, and if you were lucky and you got in. But a number of years ago, they added this extra HPAT exam. It's an examination that, first of all, costs a lot to enter. You have to pay to do the exam. And in addition to that, you also have to pay for a number of grind courses because the exam is not something, it's not based on the Leaving Cert syllabus. It's almost like an aptitude test. So, I certainly have heard that the reason that it was, one of the reasons it was brought in was because so many women and girls doing their Leaving Cert are achieving such high marks, which is the case now, and that on average women will do better in their Leaving Cert than the boys, and that this then was causing an increase in the percentage of women in medical schools, so that we were coming up to maybe 70% of a medical class would be women. And it was felt that because girls were doing better in the Leaving Cert, maybe there was a different way of examining that would allow the boys to have an opportunity or a chance to show their intellect in a different way. And this is the HPAT then came in. But as I say, there is a significant cost involved. So not only is it unequal in the sense that there may be this gender aspect to it, it is very unequal from the sense that it makes it almost impossible for somebody who does not have a significant amount of generally parental funding to assist them to both pay for the exam and also to pay for the grinds that tend to be involved. And those grind classes can be 1,000, 2,000, you know, it's not a small amount of money.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sarah Fitzgibbon from Women. Thanks very much for joining us on the Opinion Line this morning.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.